firstly, just explain to us, if you will, a little more detail, I guess, about these changes that have been mooted for the 1st of July.
It came as a surprise to me. I knew nothing about this, and then I saw it. I got a notice from the Commonwealth, and it said from July 1, you won't be able to import e-juice or nicotine salts either, and that if you want to still have access to nicotine juice, then you need to apply to a doctor. There's a form the doctor can get that's filled in. You have to specify the name of the liquid. That's the way it works. Now, I think that this is entirely consistent with the way in which we all access drugs, you know, every day. I mean, I take a prescribed drug every day. Millions and millions of people around the country do as well. And they're for drugs which, you know, can save lives, relieve pain, reduce symptoms, all that sort of stuff. And with e-cigarette juice, I mean, it's anyone's guess what's going into this stuff. A lot of it's mixed up in kitchen and bathroom kind of labs. A lot of it comes in from China, where there are very, very little regulation of it. And so I think this is a, you know, pretty reasonable compromise.
This, it does make it illegal, obviously. It regulates it. Does it restrict where you could buy liquid nicotine from?
No, I think it just gives you the authority to bring it in so that it, I understand it has to come through the post. It has to come through a courier.
Would doctors welcome this? Because then it gives doctors a level of involvement.
Well, look, I think that people who are vaping at the moment and who wish to continue would be aware that this is happening. There's a lot of discussion of it on social media. The form is, you know, readily accessible to any doctor, and the vaping sort of advocate organisations know about this. So they can advise people about how it happens. And so if you go to a doctor and say, well, you know, this is what I want, but very, very few doctors in Australia, they've been able to do this for some time, you know, give people an authority to use vaping products. And very, very few of them have agreed to do it. And I think that probably speaks volumes about, you know, the big question marks which are overhanging this. This is a product about very, very little is known about the long-term consequences of daily use. And we know that typical vapor who uses these products will pull it into their lungs, you know, well over 120 times a day, 7 days a week. And it's not just nicotine, it's all sorts of flavouring agents, propylene glycol, sort of fine metal particles which have sloughed off from the coil under the heating that occurs. It's a big question as to whether we're going to start seeing, you know, negative consequences of this down the track.
I hate the way that the flavours of these products are very much, I think, geared towards kids. When you have, you know, lollipop flavoured stuff, candy stuff, and then it's got nicotine in it, of course, I mean, that's going to attract young people to a lifelong addiction and habit, and that is criminal, I think. But I have been a cigarette smoker for most of my late child and early adult life. 35 years probably smoked a packet a day, and then nearly 3 years ago took up vaping instead. Noticed, I know this is not going to be true of everyone, but an improvement in my health in terms of the impact it was having on my lungs and my breathing. I get regularly checked out by my doctors, and it seems to be okay. And I know we don't know what's coming, but the fact of the matter is, if I can't import, which I do import from the US, if I can't import it, my almost immediate reaction when I heard this was, I'll need to go back to smoking cigarettes.
What would prevent you from taking the details of the one that you are importing to your doctor and saying, look, this is what I'm doing, just as you explained to us now, explain to your doctor, and I'd like to keep on doing it? I mean, that, I think, is precisely what this regulation's about. I personally can't see any particular downsides to it. I don't know whether you can anticipate any yourself.
If I got permission to do it, I couldn't. You know, again, if a 17 or an 18-year-old went and said that I just like it and the fruity flavour is, I'd hope my doctor would say, in that case, no. If I get resistance from my doctor, I would go into a little bit of a panic.
So is that the target audience here? Is it more about stopping young people taking this up rather than people like Russell?
Former smokers.
Yeah, well, look, Canada liberalised access to e-cigarettes in 2017, I think it was. And in 2017, 6% of 15 to 19-year-old people were using vaping in the last 30 days. 2 years later, that had shot up more than doubled to 15%.
Yeah.
We're seeing a similar thing happen in the United States. I mean, I think it was in the UK, 84% of shops selling vaping products have been found not to be doing it in the way that they're supposed to, which I think is code for, you know, access for kids and things like that. Cigarettes routinely sold to kids by shops. All kids know which shop they can go to get cigarettes. So it's always a problem, you know, where kids are concerned. But for adults who want, as you do, Russell, to keep on doing it, this is a system that I can't see that there'd be much impediment to you continuing to do what you're doing.